It's the Bob McCowan Podcast, brought to you by Bet Rivers. Download their online casino and sportsbook app today.
I'm Bob McCowan with John Shannon, and this is the McCowan Podcast. We lost a member of the broadcast family yesterday. Bob Cole was 90 years old, the longtime play-by-play voice of hockey in Canada, on Hockey Night in Canada. And I guess in many ways, he did more Maple Leaf games than anything else. So perhaps we should consider him a Maple Leaf broadcaster.
Oh, I think there'd be people across the country that would take claim to Bob Cole at some point. Bob, people in Edmonton have an affinity for Bob because he called their first Stanley Cup. People in Montreal, where he did probably earlier in his career more games than he did in Toronto, would lay claim to him. And I think I think you bring up a really good point. Bob Cole really wasn't affixed to one team. He was the network voice. He was the guy that, even if there wasn't a Canadian team,
you're not wrong, John, but the games he did were Maple Leaf games for the most part.
For about 15 years, yeah. But he did he worked for 40. So there was a period of time after Bill Hewitt and before Jim Houston that he was the voice on Saturday nights in Toronto. But I was amazed yesterday of the reaction. Bob hasn't done a game since 2019, hasn't done a Stanley Cup final for 15 years. And the country actually took a pause yesterday to remember him. And I think that it speaks to what he did as a broadcaster on hockey night for so many years. So we're gonna just take some time, talk to two or three of his old cohorts, and pay tribute to the man I view as the voice of hockey night in Canada, Mr. Bob Cole. Back after this.
Hi, this is Bob McCowan for BetRivers.com. Hey, if you're looking for a sports book or casino app, you should check out the BetRivers Sports and Casino app today. Play all of your favorite casino games for real money anywhere and anytime. Plus, get in the action with each sports game with hundreds of sports betting options. And get ready to feel like a VIP because you'll earn both loyalty level points and bonus store points on every real money wager you make. You must be 19 plus, available in Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you have questions or concerns about your gambling or someone close to you, contact Connex Ontario at 1-866-531-2600 or speak to an advisor free of charge. BetRivers.com.
Welcome back to the podcast, Remembering Bob Cole, joined by John Davidson, the president of hockey ops for the Columbus Blue Jackets, who joined Hockey Night in Canada in 1984. And got to experience Bob Cole full throttle in a few years, right, John?
Yeah, I'll say that's a loaded statement. It was something else. It was fun. It was interesting. It was intimidating. It was all of the above. Maybe the best part was with yourself and myself, and Haji, and a whole bunch of guys. It was a traveling road show too. We had fun. We had a lot of fun. Not only did we do the games, but we had fun.
Yeah. Bob, everybody has routine. As a goaltender, you had routine. You sat beside Bob, who had routine. What was that like in the booth?
At first, it was intimidating. And then it took some time, and then everything fell into place. I can remember vividly my first ever game for Hockey Night. You and I had been working together in Calgary and Edmonton, and then some Hockey Night came along. And so it was my first game. Hockey Night in Canada. I'm working with Bob Cole. The night before, I stayed in a hotel near the Maple Leaf Gardens. I don't think I slept an hour. I was nervous as hell, just petrified. And got into the booth, and Bob's there, and he got a game face. It's one thing about him. He was almost like a player. He got his game face on to broadcast a very important Saturday night across Canada game. And I remember him, that we stood up for the national anthem, and he wasn't saying much to me. I was the rookie, and I mean rookie. He took the lineup card, took a tack, and put it in the wall right beside where his head was. So if he had to look, he could just glance, and there it was. So he sat down, and he undoes his belt. I'm sort of sitting there looking, okay. And then just sort of makes everything really comfortable down there. Then I figured out down the road that his voice was so booming, and he got so excited that he needed that voice to come right up from down there and right out his mouth. So nothing got in the way of his diaphragm or anything else. So I'm sitting there, first game of Hockey Night in Canada, first game with Mr. Cole, and I'm watching this. And I'm, okay. So anyway, the game starts, and he had the headset with the mic, and he had one hand on the earpiece over his ear. The other part was up here a little bit, and then the mic. Yeah. And he starts, and the game's going, and he's up and down, and his veins are coming out a little bit. And next thing you know, it's a commercial. And that's fine, except for I haven't said a word yet. Okay, that's good. So then pucks dropped again, and it's, you know, it's this guy, and this guy, and this guy, and this guy, and Hockey Night in Canada, we'll be right back. Second commercial, I hadn't said a word. I mean, it's not even been there. So I'm saying to myself, I got to do something. So he drops the puck again, and down he goes, and he's going. And I tapped him on the shoulders to say something while I startled him. And he jumped, and the headset kind of went like this, and he put it back in place, and this is Hockey Night in Canada, be right back. I'll tell you, mister, don't ever do that again, he said to me. And, you know, I can't blame him because he was just at work doing his thing.
Right.
And so we got through that game. We got through another one a weekend or two later. And then we had a third one in Montreal. And I was still the rookie, green as hell. And we finished the game. We went into it. I can't remember if you were there or not, but we went downstairs to the bar in the hotel, and he liked his Captain Morgan, and I was going to have a beer, a Molson.
By the way, that's unflavored Captain Morgan. Is that Captain Morgan dark?
That's
no,
right.
Dark no rum. Flavor. You couldn't bring anything other than Captain Morgan.
Oh,
dark.
That's right. Yeah. I go, okay. And yeah. So we're sitting there, and he's having, and I'm having. And he says, you know, Big John. I said, what's that, Bob? He says, just talk to my wife after the game. She said, you and I are really good together. Really good. From that moment on, I was in.
Yeah.
I had to pass that test. It took three games. His wife approved, and he and I were good. We were good with each other. It was fun. I learned a lot. Obviously, with Bob, you know, Bob and Harry Neal, they were a great pair all those years. They were an institution. But I had the pleasure of working with Bob. I learned about his traits, and certainly, there's not many people, and I don't care what sport it is. There's not many people that can get to a climax as the puck's near the net, just the puck going down the ice, and he gets a little more excited, and he knows something's happening, and he gets more excited. And it was a fantastic listen, for sure.
You probably answered this, but it is said that Mr. Cole would not want his commentator, yourself in that case, to talk while the play was going on. Is that true?
Yeah, I found that out. Yep, when I tapped him on the shoulder. Yeah, he was old school in that way, but he was. I understood it because he was so into the game and so concentrating and reading it and understanding it as the play went on. So it was my job, especially as a young guy in the profession, to learn to adjust to something like that and deal with it and work with it. And he deserved it all. You know, I worked with other guys, too, that were like that. Like Dan Kelly was like that somewhat, the older broadcasters. And John can attest to it. Times have changed. And one of the things I think that changed all that, Bob, was in football with John Madden. John Madden became the analyst became as not necessarily as important. Well, he became bigger than life, but the analyst became more prominent because I think of his work as time marched on and everything evolved.
Right.
How much do you think Bob knew about the game? I mean, there's lots of play-by-play guys that do the game but don't know the game. How much do you think Bob knew the game?
You know, I don't think if he did, he didn't let you know it because that wasn't his place. His place was to call the game. Right. And like, when we'd sit down, and you were there 100 times in restaurants and dinners and things like that, he would never say, "Can you believe that power play? Why don't they have this guy on there? Why don't they have that guy on there? That all of us were doing that." He didn't do it. And no, I think he knew his. I have a saying: "Know your seat on the bus." And I really think that he knew his seat on the bus, and he was really good on the, in that seat.
The other amazing thing about Bob, John, and you experienced it firsthand too, was he built great relationships with people. And I'm not just talking about us. Our friend Wayne loved Bob mm-hmm. Cole. Yeah. Sid Crosby. Glenn Sather.
Yeah.
There was something about Bob and the trust that athletes and coaches gave him in these situations, that he wouldn't compromise that friendship, would he?
No, not at all. You know, when you mention people like that, they're at the top, right? He was at the top. And they have an understanding that, you know, we all go through life if you're at the top or whoever these people are, but you got to learn to trust people because you can't trust many. You just can't. It doesn't matter who you are. Somebody's going to try to get you or whatever. To this day, I haven't talked to Wayne for a little bit, but he still calls Bob Mr. Cole. Wayne Gretzky calls him Mr. Cole. And, you know, with Sid, the eastern part of Canada, Bob was a very, very proud Newfoundlander. Very proud Newfoundlander. But he had a way. And he wasn't a gossip guy at all. You know, he was, as you know, very strong in his opinions and his stubbornness in that aspect. But that helps make him who he was, how good he was, why he was good. He's a fascinating individual. I was thinking about it last night. You know, you're the one that told me a few days ago that, you know, he was slipping a little bit. And so I called him and left him a voicemail. And I didn't quite know how to get into it, but he's a big Yankee fan, huge Yankee fan. And I said, "Hey, Bob, Yankees out of the chute, 10-3, man. We're going to have a good summer. It's going to be good." And I know you Canadians are going, "Well, why didn't he like the Blue Jays?" He liked the Yankees before there were Blue Jays.
Yeah.
And very loyal man that way. And but I was thinking last night, I said, you know, there's a lot of things that happen in life. But if you really dissect Bob's life, and you know a lot more about it than I do, his youthful days, he was a boxer. And he's supposed to be a very good boxer. And that came out sometimes when we talked to him. He was a tough, stubborn guy. You know, it wouldn't take him long to drop his gloves, I can tell you that. But don't you think it would make a fascinating documentary, the life and times of Bob Cole, how he grew up in Canada, what he did, what he became? It was a great Canadian, in my opinion. So I think that would be fascinating.
Which is why he has the Order of Canada.
Yeah.
You know, beyond being a Foster Hewitt Award winner, for having a little profile in the Hockey Hall of Fame, he, you know, people in this country felt strongly enough of him. They nominated him for the Order of Canada, and he won it. But yes. And by the way, that and there's another part of Bob, because we all think of Bob as this blustery guy and bigger than life. But when it came to talking about himself, he hated it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I found out about he got the Order of Canada? The day after they gave the award. And I said, "Well, why didn't you tell anybody?" He says, "Well, I didn't want to be bragging about it. I didn't want to be telling people that I've got something special." And then, you know, and yet he carried that. He, you know, part of the deal is you wear the lapel pin for the rest of your life. And wow, you always saw Bob with his Order of Canada pin around. Yeah, you know, it was fantastic.
When he went into the hall as the Foster Hewitt, the broadcasting wing, it was big. You know, there's a lot of other people that go in there that, yeah, it's nice they're in. When Bob Cole went in, it was a big deal. It was a big deal. It was so well-deserved because of who he is and who he was. You know, there's another lesson to be learned here, John, and I think you're the one that is the best at it, way better than me, and that is make your phone calls. Talk to people because Father Time's undefeated. Hasn't lost yet. And we're all going to go. But you reach out to people that are getting on in age. You know, there's a lot of them. And that's something that should resonate with people like myself and others. Make sure you go out of your way a little bit more just to make a 5-minute phone call and say, "Hello," and say, "How are you doing? And things good?" And because sooner or later, they're not going to be there. They're gone. And you're going to be kicking yourself in the ass because you didn't make a 5-minute phone call.
I'm told that Bob Cole regularly went down, was at the arena at 10 in the morning on a game night. And he would go and talk to players or coaches or general managers or whoever was around. Did that influence you? Did you do the same thing?
Had to do it. Had to do it. I wasn't very good at, I have bad memory. Yeah. Bob had one thing in mind when he went down to the morning skates. And that's because it revolved around his job. He wanted to know the lineups. He wanted to know who was in and who wasn't, so he could have his lineup sheet tacked right beside his eyes. And some coaches don't like doing that. They don't. I'm not going to tell you who I'm playing or not playing, especially in the playoffs. But they did, because they knew that he would not compromise that. He wasn't going to get on a radio show or call his buddy and say, hey, Wendell Clark's not playing tonight, or Dougie Gilmore is playing tonight. It's a big surprise. He was very, very good at that. And also when he when you reach that status in our world of hockey, when he walked in, it's Bob Cole. He walked in. People would pay attention and talk to him and say, it's amazing how if you're polite and you pick up things, you might be able to weave it into a broadcast. But yes, certainly I learned. I had to do it. My memory was so bad. I also had to write everything down. I had to file things that I learned. Or if I learned 10 things, I might only remember 3 of them. But Bob just did it the right way. He didn't compromise. He didn't ask too much. He didn't try to be invasive whatsoever. And then, it turns after that. Sometimes the coach knows he can trust you. Say, come here, I want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Scotty Bowman was like that. When Scotty trusted you, he'd say, hey, John, come here, I want to talk to you. It was great. It was great.
Actually, it's funny. When you mention Scotty's name, there are people of that ilk. Scotty, Dick Irvin, Harry Neal, and Bob's in that conversation. Bob's always Bob will always be in that conversation.
Oh yeah, talked to Scotty the other day. He's sharp as a tack in his 90s. I mean, he is razor sharp. Yeah. But you're right. It's changed a little bit because there's so many more people in the broadcasting field that it's just a little different. You don't get used to people like you did before, in my opinion. Yeah. In the States, it's different. You can have Sam Rosing doing play-by-play for the Rangers for 30, 40 years. Yeah. Vin Scully seemed like 100 years doing the Dodger games. Those types of broadcasters are in those cities so much longer than the players and coaches that people, that's your glue. That's your conduit. It's interesting.
Before we let you go, you ever get the Heisman?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's it. Stop. Yes, sir.
Bob would, just for everybody, Bob would, something would happen on the ice and Bob would have a flair for what's going to happen and the crowd was going crazy and he would stick his hand up just like the Heisman Trophy to every color man that he ever worked with and get the Heisman. And that too was kind of a term of endearment in many ways for Bob Cole.
Oh, yeah.
You got the Heisman.
Was right. He was right. Yeah. We didn't even get into the late night stuff. Oh, we used to
don't even go. I'm going to give you the Heisman there. How's that? Anyway, thanks for this, John.
Anytime, guys. Good talking
thanks,
to you.
JD.
All the best, Bob. Thank you. See you, John.
You too.
All right. John Davidson in Columbus. We'll be back remembering Bob Cole on the McCowan Podcast. Welcome back to the podcast, a special edition remembering Bob Cole. There's only one man that has actually produced Bob McCowan and Bob Cole, and that is Mark Askin. Mark joins us from his abode in
Mitchell State.
I didn't say that. North of the city. Mark,
yes.
First of all, your thoughts on the passing of an old friend of ours, Bob Cole.
A lot of things have gone through my mind. Most of it is stuff that the fans will never see. Most of it is just how Bob was not. He had an unbelievable personality, but you never saw it on television because Bob was so buttoned down, and he was such an incredible friend. Like I can't even put into words what he meant to young people that were starting. Mm-hmm. And if he took, Johnny, you had him before I did. But I'll bet you when you first were working with him, you're like, wow, like this guy is all business on game.
As long as I got him his can of Coca-Cola, yes.
Yes, and also, he hated meetings, hated them almost as much as Grapes did. So he told me two things when I first met him. Yeah, Coca-Cola was certainly one.
Yeah.
But the second one he told me was, if I ask you a question, don't guess. For instance, he said, last year I had a producer who I asked him what the score was in Montreal and Detroit the night before. And he said, I think it was 3-2. This is the second thing he's telling me. And I don't want to know. I think it was 3-2. If you don't know, don't say you don't know. So that was two. The last one was, and this is what made him so charming, and people need to know, you were not allowed to talk in his ear when the game was on. And I mean not even enough to tell, as a producer, letting the talent know when you're going to commercial. You were not allowed to say commercial on the whistle in his ear. So he told me, Mark, do not talk to me. His line was, Doug Beaufort once told him commercial on the whistle on a breakaway, and it drove him nuts, and he never trusted him the same way again. And I said, well, we're going to try to change that. So I will have the AD in the booth slide you a card. So when Bob went into the Hall of Fame in 1996, we were talking to a bunch of people, and I was there with Coley, and Coley said, you know what I like most about Mark? He never told me we were going to commercial. I thought, oh my God, of all the things we've done together, you remember that? And it was just, that's how he was. He cared about, he wanted every show to be perfect. And many nights he did. So those are the things that are running through my mind. Also, Johnny, going to his golf tournament in Newfoundland, which for me was my first time on the rock. And I would have been 30. Not even that. And he was adored there. Ballyhaley, we all played at Ballyhaley. Although we spent a lot of time at the hotel bar, and I don't drink, so I heard everything. And you'd have every person in hockey wanted to come to this golf tournament. And you'd be sitting there. Bob knows better than anybody what I was like when I started, because I was just a little kid. And but you'd see these people coming through, and Coley held counsel with everybody. And the smile on my face watching him with his native Newfoundlanders has run through my mind. I know that's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. It's funny because we had Brad Gushue on, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, about that.
And by the end of the conversation, guess what we're talking about? We're talking about Bob Cole.
And
Brad. And of course, Brad and Bob had curling in common.
Right.
And that was, and you could see it on Brad's face as a Newfoundlander, what Bob Cole meant to him.
Yeah. Yeah. My goodness. I Johnny, I'm going to say this. In my view, and I know, well, I think I know what you're going to say too. He was the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. He wasn't just the guy of this generation. We'll never have another him. And it was an honor and a privilege to do games with him. It really, really was. He was hockey royalty in the booth. I mean, I said this yesterday, and I don't know if I explained it properly to somebody, but I always thought when I was doing a game that Bob had been here before in this exact moment. In this exact moment. Because there's no way you could time these calls perfectly unless you'd seen it before. He made the first time we all saw something legendary. He did it all the time. Very few guys came down the wing and scored. He knew somehow that Rick Vive, Guy Lafleur, when they came, they're going to score, or there's going to be a heck of a play here. He never missed it. Yeah. He never missed the moment. No one laid out better than him. Maybe no play-by-play guy I ever worked with was the maestro. You never said, why isn't he talking? You knew why he wasn't talking. He never missed a moment to make the moment better.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's funny because Bob was a such a great communicator. He was a master of the pause.
Oh, yeah.
As the other Bob, the guy who's with us, is the master of the pause. And right. There is something to be said for that, right, Bob? How to communicate by not saying anything?
I never thought much about it, but when it was brought up to me that I occasionally pause to think about what I'm going to say, I agree. I think it's an impactful thing, but it was not something that I did deliberately.
Yeah.
And I suspect Bob Cole didn't do it deliberately either.
I think you're right at times. You're right at times. But as we talked about with JD, Bob, Bob knew the moment. And as to Mark's point, if the place was going wild, what better communication is it than the crowd roaring than two
shut
guys
up, right?
Just shut up. That's right. Yeah. And Bob said, Bob actually probably didn't say it as politely as that at times. So,
yeah. Oh no, that's true. like here's the thing. Now for people that don't know, there are 1:30 commercial breaks, but in the old days it was 30-second commercial breaks.
Right.
So you had time during a commercial to set up what you wanted to do. So I would say a lot of times, come out a break, you can give me one line or nothing. And in a playoff game, in a big playoff game, there's nothing better than taking the person that's watching the show and taking them as close as you can to the event. Coley did that. I think that was paramount in his mind. The other thing he did was he made the stars, if they could have been bigger than they were, and that respect that went both ways between him and 99, who called him Mr. Cole, and Sidney Crosby, who called him Mr. Cole, and these great players who, when he walked in the dressing room, I'm not exaggerating, he never had to wait for their attention. They came to him. I've never seen that before.
Well, so they grew up, Mark. They grew up watching Bob Cole, right?
100%. 100%. I remember Alexander McGillney once told me that when he was in Buffalo, he'd hear this guy doing games, and he'd just come over from Russia, so his language wasn't too good. But he said, Mark, he would say things, or the power of his voice is what he said to me. I would be starting to like really leaning in to see what that was that he was talking about. This is a guy who came over and probably, never spoke very much English until he was maybe 20.
Yeah.
And yet he got Cole. Yeah. And the players adored him, right, Johnny? I mean, the guys he talked about, like Wayne, like to me, to see Wayne just be almost kid-like giddy talking to Cole. And Coley really appreciates, like, he wouldn't say it, but he's going, this is the effect I had.
So
it's absolutely amazing.
So before we let you go, the pinnacle for Bob and you, the 93 conference final?
Yeah, I think so. Well, the whole playoffs, right? The 3-7 game series for the Leafs.
Because he did all three of those series, correct?
He did all three. Those series at 21 games and 41 nights.
Yeah.
That's the other thing with Cole. Okay. One other thing. I know you got to go, but let me say this, please.
Take your time.
He was the king of sleep. Nobody, we used to call him Rip Van Winkle. He was asleep. One time I remember we had 2 days off between games and a playoff series. So after the night, we all would go out somewhere and Coley would have the captain, and I'd say to him, what are you doing tomorrow, Mark? We got 2 days in between, by I'm gonna get a lot of sleep. So then we went to the skate the morning of the game, which is the next time any of us saw him.
Yeah.
And he'd come over to me, Mark, you won't believe it, 33 straight hours I slept, it was great, and I put another 16 on yesterday. And what? It was with pride.
Yeah.
Johnny.
Oh, sorry. You've just tweaked me to two quick stories. You were involved in one of them.
Okay.
And it's classic Cole. But the first one was, he loved the TV show Dallas.
Oh yes,
he loved the TV show Dallas.
Yes,
and so that was ran on CBS at 10 o'clock on Friday nights.
Yes,
and Friday nights we were usually out. you never ever got Bob out of his hotel room at 10 o'clock on Friday night. He had to watch Dallas. He also had to have the world's longest sit in the bathtub. He loved to have his tubs every game day.
How do you know that?
Well, he would tell you. John, be calling me at noon. I'm going to be in the tub.
Okay.
But here's... And Bob rarely came out for dinner with us.
Yeah.
But you and I and about eight other people, we went for dinner at, a steakhouse in New York. And we got talking about great events. You remember this?
Yes, I do.
And you told the story. He says, guys, last summer, trip to Rome. I'm a good Catholic. The Pope touched my forehead. And it was amazing. The Pope touched me. It was amazing. And Bob turns, I'm sorry to tell this story. You should probably tell it, but I'm going to tell it because it was so good. Bob said, Mark, I got something better than that. So everybody perked up, says, what could be better than touching the Pope? And Bob said, we went to a concert at Madison Square Garden, Frank Sinatra. Sinatra walked in, walked down the aisle right where I was sitting, reached out and touched the lady next to me.
That's exactly correct.
But he loved Sinatra so much.
Oh.
That was to be that close to Sinatra was as good as being touched by the Pope.
Well, and people were looking at him going, what? Frank Sinatra? Mark just talked about the Pope. Yes.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
I remember that.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God. The thing is, we could, for the last 36 hours, all I've been doing is talking to people about Bob Cole. And every time we talk, something new comes up because you remember another story.
Oh, and that's why I started this by saying, I wish people knew.
Yeah.
Can I leave you with one funny story? Because Coley was not the best ad libber when the game wasn't on. He wasn't. So one night, this is in the early 90s, there was a mine disaster. They felt it was a mine disaster. It was going on in Kirkland Lake. It was on the 6 o'clock CBC News. I had seen a bit of it. And Ronnie Harrison, the late Ronnie Harrison, God rest his soul, came in to the truck and said, Mark, during a commercial break, Mark, did you see the news tonight? I did. Is this about the mine disaster? Ronnie says, yes. We should get Colin to say something to a great hockey community that Canada from coast to coast are thinking of you. I said, give me the next commercial break. We play, go to commercial. I go, Colin, did you see the news tonight? What, Mark? What? Wait. Dick Duff, it's true, just called Ronnie. Dick Duff, a former Leaf from Kirkland Lake, and wondered if we could say something really to make the people in Kirkland Lake realize that Canada is thinking about them. 15 seconds back. What kind of a mine is it? I said, it doesn't matter, Bob. It's just a mine. It's a mine disaster. Can we just say 5, 4, 3, just say something from Canada to them? Hello, you people out there. I know it. It's a tough night. Kirkland Lake, great hockey community. Puck goes down on the ice. The play's going on, and you could tell Coley doesn't know what to say.
Right.
Well, and you people, and you know how important hockey is. There's a breakaway. He can't. And he says to me on a button called the talkback, where he can only talk to me, which Johnny, he never used it. He hit the button and said, I can't get out of this. And he was so frustrated. Meanwhile, beside him is his other Muppet brother, Harry Neal, who has got his head on the desk, howling with laughter. And Harry says, takes a piece of, and funniest person, am I right, Johnny, maybe ever in the moment, writes on a piece of paper, also Bob, report that two guys are stuck in a car at Young and Eglinton, and slides it to Coley. So Coley goes, here's Benning, over to Vibe, and laughed on the air. That was Coley. He and Harry had that incredible, but you could, like, he just was so regimented to the game that anything that wasn't pure that, he didn't do it as well as he could. But then he came to me later and goes, that was important. I could have used more than 30 seconds of notice.
Well, that's what he needed. He needed something other than the game. He needed to prepare. That's really did. So anyway, I love it. Thank you. Thanks for this, Mark.
Good to see you, Mark.
You too, buddy. Great always to see you.
Talk to you soon, I hope.
Mark Askin, former producer on Hockey Night in Canada, remembering Bob Cole. Back after this. You know, Bob, Bob Cole was, he was one of those guys that when we were doing the regular show primetime, particularly on television, he was a regular listener and a viewer.
Well, it's interesting. I was going to mention, John, Bob Cole came in studio one time.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't remember if you were there or not, but,
it was, we did it because he was promoting his book.
Was he? That's right. I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was so nice and so complimentary to me.
Yeah.
But he said to me at one point, you know, I watch the show all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's, it's interesting that that affected me more than anybody saying anything.
Really?
Yep. Because you never think about who might be watching.
Right.
You know, and I certainly wouldn't have put Bob Cole in that position. I wouldn't have thought he would watch primetime every night or often, but he did, and he was so nice. He was a wonderful gentleman. I wish I had spent more time with him.
Well, I knew the man 47 years.
Yeah, you're lucky. And, you
and you're bang on. The pleasure was always mine to deal with Bob Cole. He it's funny, just as one personal aside, every time we chatted on the phone, and the last time was early this month, he would always ask me about my kids. Not everybody really does that.
And no, you know, I understand.
He would always say, how's Jake? And he had remembered Jake from meeting him when Jake was 8 years old. Well, Jake's 34 now.
Yeah.
That was the kind of guy Bob Cole was. Anyway, appreciate you doing this, Bob. It means a lot.
My pleasure.
To me.
Enjoyed
and,
it.
It was, it's a tough couple of days because we lost a legend in Bob Cole. I hope everybody enjoyed the discussion. Thanks for listening and watching the McCowan Podcast.
It's the Bob McCowan Podcast, brought to you by Bet Rivers. Download their online casino and sportsbook app today.